from 2 weeks in Indonesia, even though I really want to extend my vacation there, but I really missed hamburgers, as I was telling Kevin earlier. Even though the food there is so good, but since I'm not from there, I wasn't born there, I never lived there, you know, I just really miss Chick-fil-A. Really miss potatoes, French fries, couldn't get that over there. So let's open up in Genesis chapter 16. And if you need a translation set, we have translation in the back over there. Genesis chapter 16. Verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bore him no children. She had an Egyptian slave girl whose name was Hagar, and Sarai said to Abram, "You see that the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my slave girl. It may be that I shall obtain children by her." And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian, her slave girl, and gave her to her husband Abram as a wife. He went into Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, "May the wrong done to me be on you. I gave my slave girl to your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me." But Abram said to Sarai, "Your slave girl is in your power. Do to her as you please." Then Sarai dealt harshly with her, and Hagar ran away from Sarai. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, slave girl of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" She said, "I am running away from my mistress Sarai." The angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit to her." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "I will so greatly multiply your offspring that they cannot be counted for multitude." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Now you have conceived and shall bear a son. You shall call him Ishmael, for the Lord has given heed to your affliction. He shall be a wild ass of a man with his hand against everyone and everyone's hand against him. And he shall live at odds with all his kin." So she named the Lord, who spoke to her, "You are El Roi." For she said, "Have I really seen God and remained alive after seeing him?" Therefore, the well was called Be'er Lahai Roi. It lies between Kadesh and Bered. Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for your word. God, I pray right now that we will have open hearts and open ears to hear what you have to say to us. I pray that the revelation of Jesus be in our hearts. Lord God, right now I also pray for this country and the state that we are in. Have mercy on us, O God. There is so much hatred. There is so much pain. And I pray that you will mend the brokenhearted, that you will shine light in darkness. We thank you that you are truth, that you are always speaking to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, I felt like I was supposed to preach on Hagar this morning. And Hagar is a woman who the church doesn't really preach a lot about, right? We don't really hear sermons on Hagar. And usually if we do, we hear really negative sermons about Hagar, right? That Sarah didn't have enough faith, that Hagar was the temptress. And right now in our current situation here in America, There's lots of pain, right? We saw what happened in Charlottesville, and I thought about my Black brothers and sisters, my Black friends, and just the amount of grief that they have right now. And I know that Hagar plays such an important role in the Black community, especially in for Black women. She is the source of hope and of strength for them in the Bible. They really look to Hagar because they can really identify with Hagar as a slave, as a person from Africa, right? And so I felt like this was something that I needed to preach about today. But to lighten the mood a little bit, there's this song by Justin Bieber, right? There's this song that really speaks to me. And it was really a prophetic song in my life about a year ago. And it goes, "Where are you now when I need you?" Do you know that song? "Where are you now? Where are you now that I need you? Can find you anywhere," right? Justin Bieber sings this song, and it's a popular song. You might have heard it on the radio, but maybe you're too Christian to listen to secular music, so maybe not. I don't know. But he says in the song, "Where are you now that I need you? Couldn't find you anywhere." Last year, I was really struggling. I didn't know what to do, and I felt like God wasn't answering my prayers. He wasn't giving me this clear answer. And then this song just kept on playing in my head over and over again. I didn't know what was up, you know. And then I saw on Facebook that they actually sang the song at church as a worship song. I don't know if that's okay or not, but it really spoke to me in that moment. And I just started crying and feeling like God was speaking to me through Justin Bieber, of all people. Not a pastor, not a preacher, not the Bible, through Justin Bieber. "Where are you now that I need you? Where are you now?" I wonder if that's the song that Hagar would have been singing if she was alive today. Would she be singing to God, "Where are you now that I need you?" In the wilderness, was she listening to her pop idol, Justin Bieber, and singing, "Where are you now that I need you?" Lost in the desert, feeling abandoned, all alone. "Where are you now that I need you?" So Hagar was running away. She had really good reason to run away, right? Her mistress was abusive. Sarai beat her, verbally abused her. Sarai was crazy. It says in the Bible that Sarai dealt harshly or was abusive to Hagar. Sarai, the mother of all nations, was a crazy lady. So if there's hope for Sarai, there's hope for us too, right? There's still hope for your mom. There's hope for all of us. It's like she couldn't make up her mind, right? Sarai said to Abram, "Go sleep with my slave girl." And so when a man sleeps with a woman, what happens usually? The reproduction happens and one might get pregnant, right? So why was Sarai so mad? If Sarai wanted Hagar to sleep with Abram, she shouldn't be surprised that Hagar would get pregnant. But she is, because she's crazy. She couldn't make up her mind. So Hagar ran away because Sarai beat her. Sarai was abusive. She was probably scared for her life. And seeing that Hagar would run away and accept the consequences of running over being obedient to her mistress, that's alarming. That shows that she was willing to die, because slaves who ran away would get the death penalty during that time. She would rather die than to be beat constantly by her mistress. She would rather die in the wilderness. She would rather die by her captors than be chained up like a slave forever under Sarai's care. Yet she was willing to receive those consequences. She just thought maybe it's better to take the risk to run away than to stay here. It's better to die of starvation and dehydration than to receive the constant physical and verbal abuse. So the slave girl, maybe no older than 15 years old, she runs away. Or at least she tries to. Can we blame her? I mean, we've been there, right? We've tried to run away before. We've tried to escape harsh situations. Maybe it wasn't a Sarai that we were running from, but maybe it was a horrible boss. Maybe it was some kind of life circumstance. Maybe it was a bad experience at a church. Maybe it was our parents. I don't know what the harsh situation might have been, but sometimes we try to run away. When we're faced with crisis, we can either fight or flight, right? And sometimes our inclination is to flee. We want to run away. When we are faced with these circumstances, we run. It's better for us to run than to stay here, than to accept what's happening. It's better for us to escape because we are so desperate to get out. We are like Hagar and we run away. Maybe we're running away from our marriage. Maybe we're running away from reality. We're so desperate that we are willing to kill ourselves trying to escape. Because sometimes our best coping is our best suicide. We try to kill ourselves in the process of trying to live. I don't know if you've been there, trying to run away from horrible, excruciating circumstances. But then God comes into the picture. God comes and God speaks. God comes and speaks and God says to Hagar, "Where have you been and where are you going? Where have you been, Hagar, and where are you going?" This question reminds me of God's original question, the first question that he's ever asked humankind. After man and woman ate from that tree, and then they realized their nakedness and they hid because they were ashamed, Yahweh asked them, "Where are you? Where are you? Man, woman, where are you?" It's a similar question that Yahweh is asking Hagar now. Where have you been and where are you going? Where have you been and where are you going? Where have you been, Hagar? Where have you been? Hagar has been many places. She's an Egyptian slave girl, so maybe she's been passed around from master to master. She's lived in Egypt. Then maybe she's traveled with Abram from his hometown and through all of Mesopotamian region. Abram was a nomad, so he moved from place to place. Maybe Hagar has moved around with him. And we know that she's also been to his bed, to his chamber. She slept with him. Hagar has been in Sarai's quarters where she was beaten and cursed at. Where hasn't Hagar been? She's been so many places. Where hasn't she been? Where are you going? Where are you going, Hagar? Well, Hagar was going to get out, right? It didn't matter where, maybe. She just had to go as far away as possible. Hagar was running away, and she wasn't going to look back. It didn't matter where she was going. She was going home towards Egypt, maybe, the land of her ancestors. She was going to go back home because that's the place that's familiar. Maybe that's a place of comfort and of safety for her. She was going home. And Hagar wasn't running away by herself, was she? She was running away with a baby in her womb. And during that time, the baby was the ultimate giver of status for women. If you had a baby, that means that she had status in society because you were fertile, right? A baby was the ultimate giver of purpose. Without a child, a woman was worthless, meaningless. If she wasn't able to conceive, she was worthless. But she had a baby. She had a baby inside of her. That gave her status. That gave her something that Sarai couldn't obtain. It was a beautiful thing inside of her. But just as soon as she received blessing, just as soon as she received purpose and meaning, just as soon as she received life, circumstances came and threatened it. Circumstances came and threatened it. I've heard it said before that when God gives you a promise, be on the lookout. Something might come and threaten that promise. Have you heard that before? Sometimes when we receive blessing, it seems like there's something fighting it, right? I remember when I got accepted to Baylor University. I got almost a full ride scholarship to Baylor, and I was so excited, and that was the school that I've been praying for, you know, and then I got the letter stating that I got this scholarship, and I was so excited, and I took that as a sign from God that, yes, I'm going, and He's in it with me. And then come like July, I get another letter stating, hey, sorry, we made a mistake. Actually, you don't qualify for this. We're going to take away all that money. I had said yes to Baylor. I had said no to all the other schools that I got into. What am I supposed to do now? Right? I had a blessing. So I thought, I received a promise from God that I'm going to Baylor. It's an expensive private school, right? But now, what am I supposed to do? My promise was threatened. It often seems that there is always a challenge that comes with the good in our lives. Think about the many people who discover the good news of Christ. Seems as if immediately when they say yes to Jesus, things happen, right? We've heard the testimony from Kaevi. Things challenge it. There's trials and tribulations as soon as we say yes to Jesus. Think about my friend who experienced infertility, and then all of a sudden she was pregnant, and then she received a miscarriage. Think about those who have received a job after months and months of praying to Jesus for a job, and then she receives cancer. There's challenges that happens in our lives. There are things that try to threaten the promises that we feel are from God, that we know are from God. And sometimes the easy thing to do, maybe the logical thing to do, is to run away. We want to go back home to familiarity. We want to go back home to comfort. We want to go back home to the way things used to be. But what if that's not where God wants us to be? So He stops us in our tracks while we're trying to run away. And He asks us, where have you been and where are you going? Where have you been, Kevin? Where are you going? It's as if He's asking me, remember what your life used to be? Remember what your life was before me. Is that really where you want to go? Do you really want to go back to that? It's as if He's saying, do you remember who I am? you remember who I am? Where am I in your plans? You're running away, but are you including me in your plans? So there Hagar was, alone in the wilderness, pregnant, hungry, thirsty, tired, exhausted, alone. But actually, she wasn't alone, was she? God was there. God was always there with her. God was always going to be there with her, and God spoke to her. God spoke to her the promise that was already within her. There was already promise inside of her, and that promise was still within her. The child was not dead yet. The child within her had not died. The promise was not dead, and it was not new. God was not speaking a new thing into her. God was just affirming the promise that was already within her, that was already for her. God was speaking the truth. God's voice was just a reinforcement of the promise that was already within her. It was nothing new. God's promise was still being fulfilled and was still in process, even when Hagar couldn't see it, when Hagar couldn't believe it. So God told Hagar to name her son Ishmael. God hears. That's the meaning of Ishmael. God hears. Hagar, name your son. God hears. Ishmael. Even in pain, even when promises seem like they are going to be threatened, even when we are hopeless, God hears. God heard Hagar's moans and cries. God hears. God heard Hagar's labored breathing from her fear of dying. God hears. Then after God spoke to Hagar, Hagar named God El Roi. God sees. El Roi, God sees. In that moment of desperation, in that time and season of trials and tribulations, Hagar recognized that God saw her, and God had always looked out for her. Even when she was in pain, God saw her pain, and God was with her. Even before Hagar knew this God of Abraham, God was looking after her. Even when she did not know Yahweh, Yahweh was still looking out. Yahweh saw. God saw her. God was doing something and was actively working on her behalf. That is God's faithfulness. That is God's loving kindness. Realize that Hagar is often portrayed negatively. But God came to her, spoke to her, and proclaimed his faithfulness to the promise for her. Not only that, but I believe that Hagar was a friend of God. I truly believe that Hagar was a friend of God because she is the only person in the Old Testament who names God. No one else in the Old Testament had the privilege of naming God. And not only did she name God, which is a sign of intimacy, but she also, it says here that she saw God and she lived. Isn't that interesting? In the Bible, it says no one can see God and live, but Hagar saw God and lived. She did not die. At least that's what it says in my Bible. I don't know what it says in yours, but in the middle of her desperation, she saw God and she names God the God who sees, El Roi. She believed that God really saw her in the negative situation and in her misery, and she saw God, and yet she lived. She lived. If Sarai's abuse didn't kill her, surely seeing God should have killed her. If the harsh conditions of the wilderness didn't kill her, surely seeing God should have killed her. But through God's amazing grace, she lived. She lived. She survived. She made it through. She was okay, and she was an overcomer. God sees and God hears, and his promises are not dead. in us. God hears and God sees, and God has not given up on us. I don't know where we are today. I see the current events. I watch the news and I want to run away. I told my friend, or my friends told me, why didn't you stay in Indonesia? It would have been better for you. Rather than coming back to the chaos in America right now. And I thought about it, you know, when I was in Indonesia, I thought, I just need to stay here. Rather than being here in America in this chaos right now, I want to run away. We sometimes experience hopelessness, chaos all around, and we want to run away. Sometimes we even want to run away from God, don't we? But then God comes in, and we are reminded through Scripture, through God's audible voice, through Justin Bieber, that God hears and God sees. And sometimes that is piercing. That is a piercing word for us. Something that we don't want to hear, maybe, because Hagar went back to Abram. She went back to Sarai. Maybe she didn't want to go back, but that's where she was supposed to be. God has already placed his promises within us. From before we were even in our mother's womb, God had purposes and promises for us. We are all carriers of God's amazing destiny, and those promises are not dead. We might feel like they are, but they are not dead, and God speaks to us, and he is not speaking a new thing. He is just reinforcing what's already been said, what's already been done, reminding us that God still hears and God still sees, and we can make it through. We can make it through. He has not given up on us. So where are you now that I need you, we might ask. And God replies, when you broke down, I didn't leave you. I was by your side. God sees. God hears, and we are overcomers through God's grace. We can trust in a God who hears and in a God who sees, believing that he is faithful to his promises. Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you hear and you see. Even when we don't feel it, even when we don't realize it, yet we hold on to this truth that you hear and you see, and when you can be trusted, even with the chaos all around us, even when things seem to threaten the promises within us, yet we can cling on to the hope that those promises are not dead. They are very much alive. And that you are speaking those promises into existence. You are giving us the strength to overcome. That you are faithful to your word. I pray that that will be a true rhema word for those of us who need to hear it. May that be alive in us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Selamat siang semuanya. Saya mau welcome Anda semua sekali lagi di FJF Atlanta, terutama untuk yang baru balik dari Indonesia, Saudara Chang Ciano. Yeah. Welcome. Dan juga untuk, oh ya yeah, Steven, nggak kelihatan, Ben, sorry Ben. Welcome, welcome. Juga yang baru pertama kali hadir di sini, yaitu adik dari Gideon. Kalau nggak salah namanya Esther ya, menurut kabar burung. Welcome Esther di FJF Atlanta. Pengumuman untuk hari ini saudara. Hah? Ada lagi? Oh, halo, siapa namanya? Zevanya? So, nice to meet you, welcome to FJF Atlanta. Tepuk tangan dong saudara. Ada lagi? Oh, siapa namanya? Randy? Brandon. Oh, okay. Nice to meet you, Brandon. Welcome to Edge of Atlanta. Kita kenalan ya semuanya ya. Wah, banyak yang baru nih. Waduh, haleluya. Oke, pengumuman untuk hari ini, saudara. Retret, Labor Day Retret. Bulan depan, wah, nggak bulan depan, tinggal 2 minggu, 3 minggu lagi. I think sebentar lagi ya. Udah yang daftar itu 85 orang. Wah. Rame loh, ini bakal seru nih saudara, 85 orang rame. Jadi untuk pengumuman apa-apa aja yang kita perlu bawa semuanya, kita bakal share di sini. Things to bring, bed sheet, pillow sheet. Jadi mereka cuma kasih bantalnya doang. Terus habis itu covernya katanya kayak plastik, katanya gak enak, jadi mendingan bawa sendiri. Bawa anduk sendiri, habis itu bawa sabun, shampoo segala. Habis itu a pair of clothes so you can get dirty. Jadi maksudnya kita bakal main kayak mungkin di rumput segala gitu, jadi bisa kotor. Jadi ya siap-siap aja gitu. Bisa sobek. Main apa bisa sobek? Ngeri amat. Jadi ini ada lagi next-nya. Okay, menu. Waduh, menu makanannya udah hebat nih kayaknya nih. Dinner, day pertama, soto ayam. Breakfast, day two, mie ayam, bakso. Lunch, day two, lasagna. Dinner, day two, nasi goreng. Breakfast, day three, nasi hainan, bingung siapa yang masak nih. Bukan lo yang masak ya? Hah? Oh iya, jadi kalau misalkan Anda ada alergi, please kasih tahu dari sekarang. Jadi kita bisa catat apa-apa aja yang kita bisa hindarin gitu ya. Jadi just in case, precaution, ada alergi atau apa. Oke, nah siapa yang masak makanya, siapa yang masak ini? Ada, kita butuh volunteer saudara, butuh volunteer. Jadi yang pertama tuh Goal Kids, itu untuk guru. Nah yang kedua ini untuk food preparation. 3 assistant executive chef, namanya keren banget. 3 assistant executive chef, tukang masak maksudnya. 3 assistant executive chef, tugasnya apa aja jadi kira-kira nih? Potong. Plating, surfing maksudnya kan, surfing, sama cuci piring ya, kayaknya cuci piring. Jadi kita butuh 3 volunteer untuk prepare makanan dan juga untuk teacher untuk cool kids. Kalau Anda ke retret bersedia, please untuk lapor, untuk kasih tahu saudara Bong. Okay, volunteering opportunities. Kita kemarin baru di NFCC, North Fulton Community Center. Ada 12-13 orang kemarin yang ikut, dan 12 orang, dan itu it was very fun, saya ikut juga. Ada fotonya ya? Ya fotonya, nah ini gedungnya kayak begini saudara, NFCC. Ini jadi kelihatannya, ngomongnya thrift shop, tapi sebenarnya ini mereka ngebantu orang-orang yang gak mampu. Jadi kalau misalnya mereka butuh bantuan atau mereka katanya yang saya dengar kemarin gajinya misalkan kurang atau tiba-tiba dikeluarin kerjaan, mereka bisa datang ke sini minta makanan, mereka bisa bantu. Jadi ini dari depan kelihatannya agak jelek ya, tapi jangan salah saudara, dalamnya gede banget. Bisa masuk-masuk lagi, ada gudang. Udah ada kelihatan gudang, masuk ada gudang lagi dalam gudang. Nggak ngerti gimana caranya deh. Habis itu ada freezernya segala, ada makanan buat turkey untuk Thanksgiving, Christmas. Jadi gede banget lah. Jadi it was very fun. Bersih tempatnya, saya nggak nyangka. Saya pikir dari depan kata ini kayak tua nih gedungnya kan. Ternyata masuk-masuk ke dalam lebih bersih daripada Asian Grocery Store. Biasanya kalau Asian Grocery Store kan kayak kuning-kuning atas segala kan, itu kelihatannya gimana gitu kan. Ini nggak bersih loh, bersih. Ini apa ini? Ini gak penting, gak penting, gak penting, next. Ya, jadi ini semuanya 12 orang. Jadi kita next ada lagi bulan depan, September. Di, oh jangan, yang foto gak mau ketinggalan. Yang foto mau selfie juga dong. Ya, next opportunity September ya. Ini di, bukannya di itu ya, apa, open hand kan ya? Ya open hand bener ya. Open hand, market, ngapain aja market basket packing. Jadi packing dan sorting food. Hari Sabtu juga, tanggal 23, jam 1-4. Dan ini umur 9 ke atas, umur 9-15 perlu ada orang tua yang supervise. Jadi 11 spots left, jadi jangan ketinggalan. Kalau Anda kemarin miss, jangan miss yang ini. Karena it was very fun dan bisa, you can learn a lot from volunteering. Okay, I think that's all. Super Sunday, volunteer booth, kita kemarin did volunteer booth, Jadi kalau misalnya Anda mau kemarin nggak sempat datang, Anda mau volunteer di gereja ini, silakan kasih tahu ke saudara Sam. Yes, saudara Sam. Oke. Okay. Oh ya, ini posisinya apa aja? Sound, worship, translation, ya bisa dibaca sendiri. Pokoknya banyak lah posisinya yang available. Jadi bisa Anda ada pengen volunteer, silakan kasih tahu ke saudara Sam. Oke, okay, mari kita berdoa. Terima kasih Tuhan, kami ucap syukur untuk kasih-Mu Tuhan yang begitu besar di depan kami. Bapa, kami hari ini belajar mengenai Hagar Tuhan, bahwa sama seperti Engkau tidak pernah meninggalkan Hagar, Engkau mendengarkan doa seruan hati Hagar Tuhan, Engkau juga mendengar Tuhan seruan hati kami Bapa. Engkau selalu bersama-sama dengan kami Tuhan, sama seperti Engkau bersama dengan Hagar. Terima kasih Tuhan, kami saat ini mau membawa persembahan kami Tuhan ke dalam rumah-Mu Tuhan, persembahan perpuluhan Tuhan. Kami berdoa Tuhan supaya apa kami bawa ini Tuhan bisa menyatakan Tuhan bahwa Engkau adalah Allah yang hidup dan Engkau adalah Allah yang besar dalam hidupan kami. Terima kasih Tuhan, kami serahkan semuanya dalam tangan-Mu, dalam nama Yesus. Dalam nama Yesus kami telah berdoa dan mengucap syukur. Semua percaya katakan, amin.